If you have your Bible, turn to Genesis 12. That's where we're going to begin. But we're going to be flipping back and forth between the Old and the New Testament. And we're going to begin with this series that I have planned out probably until at least the end of this semester. Maybe it will be extended to next semester. On the life of Abraham. I mean, it's an old story. It's an ancient story. It's been foretold, and the New Testament talk about it, Abraham's and the descendants of Abraham's. So it's a story. It's not unfamiliar to us, but it is fundamental to our faith in Jesus Christ. And like I said already, that show you in John, Jesus link himself to Abraham and said that even before Abraham that he existed. So his divinity in that dialogue that you see that Jesus talk about his divinity. And also because Abraham is revered for the Jews. Abraham, Moses are the two revered figures in Judaism. And Jews still claim they are the descendants of Abraham, sons and daughters of Abraham. And so we want to see where that claim come from and how Abraham's life becomes what we call he is the father of faith. How he's an ordinary person. I mean, if you read his story as you go through his life story, you see that he has ups and downs in his relationship and his faith with God. He's not always ascending. If you're thinking that way, he's not always ascending. But I think there's a lot of lesson we learn from Abraham, but more importantly, that through Abraham, we came to know who Jesus is. We came to know who the Lord Jehovah is. Okay, so today's it's just going to be the beginning of the story in chapter 12, verse 1 through 9. Actually, it started from chapter 11, verse 31. But before I delve into the text, I have a story to share. Is that when I remember we were in the missionary learning center training to be overseas missionaries, and one day our leader told us to separate the guys and the woman and tell us to plan a beach trip, and it gave us 15 minutes, and the guys got together and they were done in 5 minutes. Okay, and the woman were asking for more time. 15 minutes wasn't enough. And so when time to present our plan, this is what the guy says. I said, we just go on Google Map, find a beach, then we find the best way to get there, and then we just enjoy it. The presentation is like 2 minutes. 5 minutes to plan to find the best beach. You can Google it, I guess. They have ratings and all that, and then find a place just to go, just find the best route to go. And the woman, on the other hand, had to make sure there's enough supplies, such as suntan lotions, kids' sand toys, make sure they are umbrella to make that everyone is under the shade. Oh, also there's lunch that you have to bring lunch. The sandwiches, the chips, the drinks, the plates, the cups. And of course the garbage bag. We gotta keep it, keep the beach clean. Okay. But this is not over yet. The beach must be less populated, but it cannot be secluded. It needs to have a lifeguard on duty. This beach must have a long stretch of sand. And parking. You need parking on this beach too. The parking is important. The woman had a good time planning this trip. You can tell why. Because there's a bunch of them. 10 or more women getting together to plan this. So they're back and forth, laughing. They had a good time planning this. And here we are with a brother. We're just looking at them and says, what took so long? What took so long? You know, this is not to say the planning is not important. But do you need to have every details planned out? As you read Genesis 12, verse 1 to 9, we will read it soon. God told Abraham to go, leave his home, without giving any details. And Abraham just left. From the scripture, I did not see Abraham asking God for any details. Abraham is recognized as the father of faith. So one takeaway from this chapter of Abraham's journey with God, that we learn faith is obedient without a full picture. Faith is obedient without God giving you a full picture. Instead, keeping his eyes on the Lord. We will come to these, there are two parts to this takeaway. One is without detail. The second one is keep your eyes focused on the Lord. So let's read chapter 12, verse 1 to 9. The Lord has said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all people on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree Amorah, and Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he went on towards the hill east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and I on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abraham set out and continued towards Negev. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that as you spoke to Abraham, as you revealed to him who you are, in the same way you reveal yourself through this story, through his story, through your words to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I think, when you talk about Abraham's migration, you got to have a map. You don't have a map, you have no idea where everything is. Because this story, Abraham's story, is as much of his story as is to the land, the geography of it. So I'm going to show you the land, or the migration path. Is this thing on? It is on, right? What do I do? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. Can I just leave it like this? It will go. All right. So, scripture told us, I mean, here is he started from Haran, right? Right here. This is where he made his home. But, you know, prior to Haran, there's stories about Abraham. He migrated from here, Ur of Chaldean, to Haran with his dad. Okay, let me show you. Let me say it. In Act chapter 7, verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 2. God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So, chapter 12 of Genesis, not the first time God spoke to Abraham. It's not the first time. Actually, he spoke to Abraham when he was living in this area. In this area. He spoke to him to leave your country, leave your people, to go to a place that I will show you. And you know what? I said that because if you look at chapter 12 of Genesis, it says the Lord has said to Abraham. It's a past tense. In other words, chapter 12 is recording, is reviewing what God had already said to Abraham. So chapter 7 of Acts, verse 2, Stephen told us that God has spoke to him to leave. And then here, in Genesis 11, 31 to 32, which I said prior to that, and you see the recording. Terah took his son, Abraham. Terah is Abraham's dad. His grandson, Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarah, the wife of his son, Abraham. And together, they set out from Ur of Chaldean to go to Canaan. But when they come to Haran, they settle there. Haran lived 205 years and he died in Haran. So what happened was, they started the journey with Abraham's dad, his nephew, his wife, and everybody coming to Haran. They were going to go to Canaan, land of Canaan, right here. They were going to go there, but they settled over here. I don't know how long they settled there. I don't know how long they lived there. But they stopped. They didn't go all the way to the land of Canaan as God directed him. And it's also interesting enough is that who took the lead moving? It says Terah, verse 31 of Genesis 11. Terah. So Terah was the lead taking his family, his son Abraham, to here. And Terah decided to settle. So Abraham settled with his dad and lived in Haran. I don't know for how long. Probably quite a long time. Settled there. Okay, so you have a little bit background of how the migration began in Thumb. So chapter 12 begin with a review. This is what God had called Abraham to go. You know, this area right here is a lot of idol worship. You know, they did not worship the Lord. So you can assume Terah and his family were worshiping idols. They're idol worshiper. Maybe even Abraham were part of the family idol worship. Can I get this thing to be just? So this whole area is idol worshiping area. You can see that there's Nineveh. Remember in the Old Testament, Nineveh, where Jonah has to go? This whole area in between the river. Mesopotamia means between rivers. It means between rivers, between Tigris and Euphrates. So this whole area is idol worship area. So now, Noah wants to call Abraham to be worshiping him and him only. That's why God called him to leave. But then he settles. He settled. And it wasn't until his father died, chapter 12, God revealed to him again. It says, this is not what I call you to be. I want you to go to here. So if you follow the blue line, this is the blue, that is Abraham's migration path, his migration path to the Holy Land. Okay, that's the geography of it. How do I know they are worshipers of idols? Because in Joshua 24:2 says this. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, say. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac. So, that's how I know that they are a family of idol worshiper. You know, no matter what, it is still hard after you settle for a while to pack up and leave. And you also have to know, it says here, Abraham was hard. How old was he? Yeah, verse 4. Chapter 12, verse 4. Abraham was 75 years old. I am close to that age. Not yet 75, but I'm close to that age. You know, if you want me to move somewhere else from Charlottesville, it is a major challenge and adjustment. Not only logistically, but it's mentally and physically exhausting. When you are that old, trying to pack up and leave. Now, this call to leave is almost like turning his back on his extended family. It is not as if you can keep in touch easily with your family now. Like, you know, I mean, you are further, those people from China, you're so far away from China, but you can still keep in touch. You can still see each other through, you know, WeChat. Yeah. Thank God for WeChat. It's free. Abraham is never going back again. His extended family will never see him again. Now, they have two lives. His extended family and Abraham. They have two lives. Two different lives. And two different destiny. Isn't that what faith means? Is obedient without a full picture. You know, today a lot of people would think that's reckless or unreasonable. But that's what faith is. At some point, faith will always be unreasonable. And to many people, it will be seen reckless. And then the second part of this this story, the beginning of the story, is God made a promise, right? And there's a lot to unpack here. Because you and me were the blessing of Abraham's promise. You and me are able to sit here is because God's blessing through Abraham. So, let's unpack here. He said, verse 2, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Of course, Abraham did not see this promise come true in his lifetime. But subsequent generation of Israel, the Jews have become a great nation. If you read the story and the continued Old Testament, time of King Solomon, right? His territory extended far beyond the present-day Israel. Probably twice as big as the present-day Israel. His name, Solomon's name, is heard near and far from Israel. He has traveled to Ethiopia. The queen of Ethiopia went to seek out Solomon for his wisdom. But the promise here is not just to Israel and to his people and his tribe. It says, God's idea is always all people, all nations. And you see this in verse 3 later. But even to this time, Abraham's name is famous. People in Canada already heard of his name. And if you read later on in chapter 14, when he rescued Lot, his nephew, that he is that brings him fame and fortunes to Abraham. And people know Abraham can vouch for his integrity and characters. And then verse 2b, you see that you will be a blessing. You will be a blessing to all people on earth, 2 and 3, verse 2 and 3. God has never just saying, okay, I'm just going to be your local God. I'm going to be the God of Israel, and I'm only going to be God of your tribes. God's idea, his focus is always the whole earth, all the people. And that is why we have the Great Commissions go to the end of the earth to proclaim his name. So God has already here in chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 already show that God's vision is not just Israel, but it is to all people. And then verse 3, he says something like this, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curse you, I will curse. Of course, you read the story of Abraham later, you see that coming to play. That's true. And how do I express to you today? I mean, that's for Abraham. How about you? Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Right? If God is for you, and who can be against you? So, in other words, God has aligned himself with Abraham the same way that he aligned himself with us. That is alignment. Verse 3, God says, I will be your defenders. I will be your protector. I will be your providers. This is who God is making himself, attach himself to Abraham. Wow, man, that's very personal. Can you imagine that, I don't know, who's the most famous person in the world? Please. Who's the most famous person in the world? Wait, most influential. Okay, you can say Trump. Okay. Who's that? Michael Jackson. He's dead. He's dead. You know, just think the most famous person in the world, most powerful person in the world, become your personal friend. Oh, Marlon Brando. He's there too. This living God has aligned himself with Abraham. This most powerful being in the universe has aligned himself with Abraham. It says that, you know, I'm your daddy. Nobody can slight you. Nobody can, you know, hurt you, because I will be with you. So that is a blessing by itself. And then he said, all the people on the earth will be blessed through you, which we are that blessings, right? We are extension of that blessing, that God has blessed us for eternal life and through Abraham. We see Apostle Paul unpack this promise to us when he wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 to 9. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, man of faith. So in other words, Paul is saying the gospel is preached to Abraham, that by faith he is justified. In the Old Testament, before Jesus even showed up, but he already preached the gospel to Abraham. So all the people following Abraham will have the same justifications by faith in Jesus Christ, by faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul already unpacked that for us. And then in Galatians 3:14, he continued, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. The blessing that he giving to Abraham might come to the Gentile, that's us, through Jesus Christ. So by faith, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. So there is no doubt that this blessing speaks to us. And then, third part to this story is that Abraham left. Despite the emotional and physical challenge Abraham left, he leave with his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, because Lot's father had died, and so Abraham is acting as his surrogate father. You know, the scripture says Abraham left. He obeyed what God said. Obedience and faith are synonymous in scripture. Obedience and faith. You cannot have faith without obedience. You cannot have obedience without faith. He obeyed without questions. That is rare. If God called us, well, I mean, from our experience, when God called us, there's always questions. There's always questions. You know, for Abraham, I think he will at least ask, what specific part of Canaan you want me to go? I mean, Canaan is a pretty big area. Where do you want me to end up? And also, why there? Abraham did not ask questions because he already have all the answers in the promise. God says, I'll be with you. So what else do I need? Right? What else do I need? As I navigate my life, you know, through this world, what else do I need? Do you need God to tell you, okay, now you have to be here on this year, be there on the next year? No. I have a person who is right next to me. He directs me. He protects me. He provides for me. He will make my name great. Right? So Abraham doesn't need to have all the specific details of his journey. He has God right next to him. You know, I think that's part of faith journey, isn't it? It's a part of faith journey. It's that, you know, when you have challenges in life, you don't ask God, says why, and you know, this, you just says, okay, I believe, Lord, you're with me. These things happen for a reason and for a good reason. You did not use these things to harm me. You don't take joy in my failures. You are with me. So Abraham doesn't need to ask all these questions. We do because we have little faith. Abraham's, all the answer is already in verse 2 and 3. But God made another promise. See, verse 2 and 3 is just an outline. And then later on, he promised a son because Abraham asked, how can you make me a great nation when I don't have any son to take after my name? So God promised that. But here, God promised another thing. What is it? And Abraham travels through the land as far as the site of great tree Amorah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Okay? The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. I wish God didn't say that. I wish God didn't say that. Because from that one point, you have all these troubles for thousands of years. And also, scripture specifically said, there are already people there. So what is God going to do? Is going to take this land away from all these people? So to kind of just raid the land and give it to the Jews? That's what God says. And that's why you'll have all these troubles for years and years and years because of the land, because the promise of the land. You know, this promise is one of the core value of Judaism. Core value of Judaism. That is the land. That is our land because God promised it. And everybody else says, which God? The Jehovah God promised it. Who is he? See, that's what the people who were there are asking. But that is the one claim the Jew has. We belong to this. This is the promised land. This is ours. But, you know, God took it from the Canaanites and gave it to them. I mean, is that fair? By today's standard, you says, no, it's not fair. Because they were there. They had the squatter's right. they were there first. But God can do whatever he wants. And God gave the land to the Jews. And ever since then, there's not been a peaceful period of time when there's no fightings, no claiming and counterclaim for the land. I wish God had promised them the oil field in Saudi Arabia. Nobody's there and they will be so rich. And nobody, well, maybe still people will be fighting over that. But then there's just nobody there lives there. You know, nobody lives there. But you figure, do you not think God knows this is what will happen? Do you not think the Lord already know that by giving this land to the descendants of Abraham, there will be chaos, there will be fighting, there will be unrest? Through the years, I'm talking about hundreds and thousands of years. Do you not think God knows? Why? You ask, why does God do that? Why does God do that? Well, the Bible didn't really say why he did it. But you know, if you look in the topography of the Holy Land, it is only a very small portion that is fertile. Everywhere else, it just rocks. Rocks. It doesn't grow anything. Why, God, in your infinite wisdom, you do this and let Israel unable to enjoy the peace for a prolonged period of time? I think, and this is probably backed up at various part of the scripture. It's because God is wanting to train a people to depend on Him, to depend on His protection, just like Abraham has no question because he depends on the promise that God made to him. God wants a people group to depend on Him for providing food, rain. They depend on God for protection because everybody else wants to what? Destroy them. All his neighbor wants to destroy them. He needs God for protections. They need God for guidance. Making alliances. Who should I trust? Who should I not trust? I think God wants his people to show this to the world. This is what a people of God supposed to do. And that's why, you know, when everything goes well, then there's no sense that you need to depend on God, right? Everything goes well. Like in America, we don't have a whole lot of needs. So we don't need to depend on God in many ways. But this is why God gave the land. So Israel, the people, the descendants of Abraham, will learn to trust and depend on the Lord. But there's more. The land, what is land? I mean, everybody's focusing on the land. God's promise to give this land to you. But you know, what is land? Land is just temporary, right? Land just temporary. You can buy land. America bought Alaska, right? We bought the Louisiana Purchase. We buy land. You can buy land. You can't take it with you. You know, that's why people who buy real estate, I just says, why? You know, as an investment, you can't take it with you. cash is king. Take it with you. But land, you know, why? So if you put your focus on the land, then I think that is sort of kind of short-sighted. Short-sighted. And you look at, what do you think Abraham really looked at? I don't think that that he is so much tied to the land, because he travels a lot too, right? He's not saying that, you know, God gave him this land, so here I am, I'm going to set my root down, start building my city. No. He travels. Because his focus is not so much on the land here. His focus is on the city of God that's yet to come. This is what the Hebrew writer says. In Hebrews 11:9, he says, by faith, this is he made, that means Abraham made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. He is not looking to build a city on the promised land. Since God, you gave it to me. So this is where I'm going to sit. This is where I'm going to dwell. This is where I'm going to build my home. No, he's not. Abraham's focus is not the promised land, but his eyes is always cast on the city of God. Israel today has always, and also all the Jews for all the time from Abraham to now, has cast their eyes on the land. Put their eyes on the land. Hebrew writer continue in chapter 11, verse 13 to 16. All these people, that mean Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were still living by faith when they die. In other words, they haven't really actually possessed the land. The land is open border. It's not like a border today, you know. You have guards and things like that. It's just open border. People travel in and out. So they have no visions of what this land is going to be, make it as an inheritance for the Jews. They had no idea what that means. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. Again, it says that. They are aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he was prepared a city for them.